be presenting on the qualitative analysis of perceived environmental barriers of people with a traumatic brain injury. So from now on, when I refer to traumatic brain injury, I'll be using TBI. First, I want to acknowledge my collaborators, Dr. Pat Sample from the Colorado State University, and two people who are in this room, C.A. Brooks and Gail Whiteneck from Craig Hospital. This project was part of the TBI Model Systems, which is a NIDER-funded grant. So the purpose of this study was to examine the qualitative responses regarding perceived environmental barriers and attempted solutions reported by participants who took part in an interview focusing on the long-term impact of TBI. One thing I'm really excited this year to see is a lot more qualitative data has been presented at this conference than I've seen in a long time. And that's really exciting because I'm a researcher who collects both quantitative and qualitative data. And I can tell you that a lot of nuances get lost when we collect quantitative data. And so I really do think I've been given a great opportunity to be able to give a voice to some of these people and present some of the emotion and feeling that they're actually going through when they're experiencing some of these environmental barriers. So the assessment was 243 individuals who received inpatient rehab at Craig Hospital after they survived a TBI were interviewed and consented to be interviewed over the phone. This interview consisted of a variety of outcome assessments intended to better understand the process of aging. We actually asked a number of outcome assessments, but today I'm just going to be reporting on the chief and the chief follow-up questionnaire and the responses to that. So the chief is the Craig Hospital Inventory of Environmental Factors. It asks about 25 separate elements of the environment in a structured telephone interview. So each item is scored on frequency. For example, we ask, how often is transportation a problem for you? We also ask about its severity. So is transportation a big or little problem for you? These two are combined for a total product score for each element. Through previous analysis, we have identified five subscales that have been identified, and those include physical, policies, service, work, school, and attitude. The chief follow-up questionnaire gathers specific examples of environmental barriers, the strategies of coping, and the effectiveness of these coping styles. So with the chief follow-up questionnaire, we take the 25 chief questions, and we identify the question with the highest product score. Remember, that's the frequency of the barrier times the severity in each of the five subscales. So the one that has the highest score, then we'll continue to ask, what specific situation did you have in mind when you said that transportation was a big barrier? So for each response, we consider that a critical incident. Then we ask, what did you typically do in that situation? And then finally we ask, does that usually solve the problem? So now there are some people who identified, we would have asked these questions for all five categories, but sometimes they only identified one, and so it just ranged on who answered, depending on what they answered on the chief, on when we asked the chief follow-up. So 148 of the 240 people that we interviewed reported experiencing at least one barrier. Of those 148, 45 were females and 103 were males. The mean age was 43 years old, and the mean years post-injury was 14 years. And their ages ranges from 18 years old to 73 years old. So the analysis phase. The last part of the interview, we actually recorded those interviews and then transcribed them. Two independent researchers reviewed and coded the transcripts for content. More than 200 individual codes were identified, and later we collapsed those codes into 10 categorical themes. So this is what we felt like after we collected the 200 codes. I got this from the cover of one of the APHA's magazines, and basically after we got those 200 codes, you really feel overwhelmed with a lot of information. But luckily we pushed on, and we got some themes going. So So the first theme that I'm going to report is emotional, behavioral, cognitive, physical changes following a TBI. Discrimination and stigmatization, access and transportation barriers, financial problems, employment problems and needs, rural care disparity, climate concerns, relationships, dealing constructively with changes following a TBI, and problems dealing with changes following a TBI. As you can see, a lot of these themes have been reported earlier throughout this whole conference. So it just kind of nails in that just because it's a different disability, these people, all of us are experiencing, all of these people with disabilities are experiencing some problems. So theme one, my life is different in so many, many ways. Emotional, behavioral, cognitive, physical changes following a TBI. One thing that's unique about, I think, people with a brain injury is they a lot of times remember their abilities before their injury. They remember who they were before their injury. They remember what they're doing now, or they know what they're doing now. And they're very frustrated with what they were able to do and what they can't do now. And I think that these reflect, these statements reflect that those feelings. I used to work at the library, and I used to have to get books high up on shelves, and they needed ladders and stuff, and they required ladders, you know? And my job was to put the books back away, and so I wasn't able to. I mean, I would go and do it, but the thing is, it's dangerous. I don't have any balance. I mean, what I was thinking about is the fact that they, the potential employers, make no compensation for the fact that you don't have a sense of balance about you. You can do everything, but the fact that your balance is weak, there's no, they would not hire you. Theme two, people do not understand my brain injury and discriminate against me and treat me unfairly. Discrimination and stigmatization. A lot of times with people with a brain injury, what they'll have is they look physically fine, but they're cognitively slower. And so people make judgments on the fact that they're either stupid or idiotic because it takes them longer to pay for their groceries or to even get their money out of their purse. And so this is what a lot of people were, or their speech is slower. These are what these people fell into that category. Like I said, I stay at home. I don't go out. I don't want to get involved with nothing. I don't do nothing because I'm scared. Like, people look at me, like I told you. I look normal, but I can't think straight. So why even try? I'm not even going to try. I just can't do it. It's just too much of a struggle for me, and I'm too afraid of what other people are going to think about me. I don't want anybody to laugh at me, and I think that they will. If they just see me, the way that I act and I don't respond, and I'm just safe here in my home. A second theme, like I had already said, is that these people really feel like they don't, a lot of people don't include them in the disability category because they don't look disabled. Because of my injury not being a physical thing that they can see, they don't understand when I struggle with stuff. This was a big issue for people who within their family. Their family believed that once they went through the rehab that they should be better, that they shouldn't have memory problems, that they shouldn't have slower processing, and that they were tired of dealing with their injury. So they had them just continue, they would just give them attitude when they didn't remember appointments and times that they were supposed to meet family members. Theme three, it's very hard to get around my community for work, school, groceries, banking, doctors, or anything else that's important. I was thinking of driving myself to the doctor, which is like 12 miles away, or 15. And due to the fact that they, the mountains, have so many winter visitors, and our population has expanded to like 5 million people, there's a lot of activity in road work. So driving any length of time or distance makes me anxious. So I talk to myself, turn on the radio, or just pull over. This particular person actually missed their doctor's appointment because she was just way overwhelmed with the amount of road work and crowds. And so she just didn't go to her doctor's appointment. And transportation's an issue because sometimes after their injury, they completely lose the ability to drive, or they, again, get so overwhelmed that they can't get in the car and drive. Theme 4, I can't afford my life since my TBI. This is a big issue. These people either are on Social Security disability, they have huge medical bills due to the fact that of their original injury, or they cannot afford their a caregiving, or they can't afford their medical durable equipment. So this is a big issue. This is one of my favorite quotes. It's solving in it with a sense of humor. They told my mother that since I need a full-time caregiver, that she should quit her job and come home and be with me all the time. And they would pay her as a caregiver, which the mother did. And the program was going to get cut. And so then here we are 2 years later, and we're cutting it, and they're cutting it, and it's hurting our budget. Well, it's hurting the household. So we're going to send me up to the governor to live for a week. His solution was that the governor should be his caregiver. Work is important, but it is so hard to succeed at it. A lot of these people are unable to work after they are injured, or if they do come back to their work, their coworkers and their employers have attitudes about how they should perform, because they take what they were performing before their injury into effect to how they are now. Well, you know, because of my brain injury, nobody wants to hire me, and I have a lot of physical problems. But employers out there, they don't want to give you the opportunity to learn what they're doing or get more hands-on training anywhere. I can't get trained for anything. And now all that money I spent on college is basically down the drain. Well, you know, there's a certain not a lot I can do. This person actually went and got his bachelor's after his brain injury, and he still finds that he is unemployable. It seems like the only cure is to move away from here. I think this is a theme that has been throughout this conference all of this time. Well, like, I don't have a driver's license, and so I live in the mountains. We don't have RTD, which is our Denver public transportation. No taxi service. I rely on friends for a ride, and that's a real hard situation. You know, people can't wait on me. This person actually thought that he was pretty independent because he lived by himself, he could work by himself, but because he had to rely on other people to drive him around, he considered himself disabled. Theme 7, the temperature makes me not feel good. In Colorado, we have extreme temperatures sometimes. Last year in the summer, we had over 40 days that were higher than 90 degrees, and we actually had 2 weeks over 100 degrees. And in the winter, then, we're guaranteed about a couple weeks of below zero. And when you have a brain injury, a lot of times there's concomitant injuries as well with fractures and things. And when that cold sets in, it makes your bones hurt. I don't know. I just get hot and I feel like I get overheated. And sometimes I feel like I could pass out or something. My relationships are either gone or troubled, which leaves me lonely. We found that through previous research that about 3 years, relationships really deteriorate for these people. Family members are tired of reminding these people to pick up their clothes or to how to get dressed or things like that. And we found that the divorce rate goes up way higher at 3 years. Well, my children, they think that what happened to me happened to me, and I have to live with it, and I agree. I do have to live with it. But they go about, you know, I hate to make it sound selfish, but they go about their deeds and have fun and things, and they don't think about mama. They never ask, would you care to go? Would you like to go with us? You know, and I'm not saying like, you know, something big, just like a show or something. No, they don't want to ask me. Theme 9. Now I'm switching gears now, and the last two are looking at how these people dealt with the environmental barriers that they faced. So the first one is, I try to live with my life changes. These are more the productive ways. As far as education, who do you educate, me or them? I explain the situation and tell them what I need. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Now this person obviously is pretty insightful and is able to speak out and speak and educate the general public, but there's a lot of people who are unable to do that. Here's the not so great changes. Sometimes I do not deal well with the changes. Well, I haven't lived my life the way my family would like me to, and I do have problems in that area because I make bad decisions. I've been forced to sell my home. My identity got stolen by them, my friends, and they got me involved. Well, I got myself involved with some drugs and stuff, and you know, I really, really fell apart. And now I've struggled with staying in with the right kind of people. This is someone who has tried really hard to trust people, and obviously his friends took advantage of him and stole his identity. So, conclusions. Despite great strides in disability over the last decades, many unresolved problems and challenges still exist for people with a brain injury living with cognitive and or physical disabilities. We have found a wide range of responses and approaches to coping and responding to these challenges, but what we found is that the general public just really does not understand brain injury. There's an unmet need for education and information about TBI. And the last point I want to make on this is going to be a true challenge for us in the next coming years when we have our Iraqi soldiers coming back with huge amounts of brain injury. We need to start educating the public on what to expect from these people. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. Excellent presentation.